In this episode, I will expose the central governments and the banks and how they control your money in the money matrix. I'll share with you who controls the world's money and how to beat the money system and build generational wealth. I was actually banned from a London studio for discussing this money matrix in reference to a conversation I had with Andrew Tate. My publisher also refused to publish this book, despite being one of their biggest selling authors, having published 5 books with them before. There are 4 most powerful entities that control the world's money. Very powerful people, very powerful banks, very powerful funds, and very powerful corporations. In this episode, I'll expose the money matrix system and how the big 4 entities monetize you the big 3 ways: tax, interest, and inflation. And then as the episode goes on, I will spin it 180 and I'll teach you how to beat the banks at their own game, how to win the game of money like the banks are currently, and how to build personal financial freedom and generational wealth. So quick change of clothes and backdrop, and I'll see you in the episode. Money matrix: how to beat the banks and profit like them. So I coined the term money matrix, and I define it as the hidden system of monetary policy created by and that benefits the elite over the people for the purposes of monopoly power and control of the populace for maximum profit. In this episode, I'm going to give you an overview of the expose of the banks and the system that I've done here in Money Matrix. Now, I was banned from a London podcast studio for discussing this. It was actually a discussion I had with Andrew Tate. And I'm published, I have a 6-book deal with the second biggest publisher in the world, and they refused to publish this book on the grounds of it's too political. So before we get into this, just for a bit of fun, because I've been doing this on some of my social media channels, I've got some cash here and I'm going to run a little competition. So if you can guess exactly to the pound sterling, got a bit more in my pocket, how much cash is on this table, I'll give you a decent amount of it. I don't know how much yet, but a decent amount. So in the comment, you get one guess only. In the comments, exactly how much to the pound is there. And if you guess it exactly, I'm going to give you some of it. 17 years ago, I figured something out about the banks. I realized that if you don't have a product to sell, and if you don't make your own money from a product, if you don't have a product on social media that people buy from you, then you are the product. Think about it. How do the banks make money? From your money. So who is the product of the banks? You. Now, many people have been propagandized by the banks that they're going to look after your retirement and they really care for you. And you can come into our branch and sit on this nice sofa and talk to this very nice lady next door lady and get advice about your money from a prepubescent guy on the sales desk, that your money is safe with these big banks. Your future is taken care of, your pension is taken care of, and saving with these banks is going to look after your retirement. Wrong. The reality is this: you are the product of the banks, and they make trillions out of you, and they make money out of you 3 ways. 1, interest. 2, taxes. And 3, inflation. Now, this used to really anger me, how high taxes are, how they propaganda you to believe that getting a lifetime mortgage is good for your finances, and how you need a loan for this car and this conservatory. Do you know now in sports shops, and this is to kids, this is disgusting, inside the trainers, they put adverts for you to get finance on a pair of trainers at 39% interest. Stuff like this really angers me, because that's the gateway drug to the mortgage and the remortgage and the car and the conservatory and the debt trap. So like I said, 17 years ago, in addition to figuring out that I am the product profit-making entity of the banks and they are consuming me, I figured out exactly how they make money from me, and I turned them on themselves, and I now play the banks at their own game. I had this epiphany. It's not really good or bad, it just is. The banks are a for-profit corporation. There are thousands of for-profit corporations that make a lot of money and are probably a bit greedy. There are big tech companies that make a lot of money and are probably greedy. And there are big funds like Vanguard and BlackRock that make a lot of money and are probably greedy. And a lot of the people who morally judge these big corporate entities, of which I see the bank as one of them, they'd probably do the same if they were in that position, because humans are naturally quite greedy and power naturally corrupts. I'm going to be honest here. If someone came to me with a money printing machine that I could have in my office and I could print unlimited amounts of this, even if it caused inflation and reduction in other people's money, I'd be hard pushed not to do it. I'd probably pay top money to have my own money printing machine. If I controlled policy in the world of banking, might I be tempted to do it in a way that benefited me, that made me extra profit? Well, I'd love to sit here and say, oh, I would never do that, and I'm for all the people. But humans always have a selfish motive and element. So from here on in, I'm going to remove anger at the system. I'm going to remove being pissed off at the banks, and I'm going to remove all moral judgment. And I'm going to look at the business model and the system of the banks, and I'm going to show you how 17 years ago I flipped it on its head. If you have money in the banks, you are taking all the risk and they are making all the profit. If you borrow money from the banks for assets that produce you income, you're making the money and the banks are taking the risk. And I started this journey 17 years ago. So here's how you use the three ways that the banks make money on you: interest, tax, and inflation. Here's how you turn it on its head 180 degrees and beat them at their own game. So number one, interest. People naively believe that if they have their money in the bank and they're earning interest, their money is making money. This is not true. In order for you to make money in the bank, your interest that you're paid net, not gross, needs to be higher than inflation. In reality, not what they tell you. I just watched the UK budget and they are orgasming over themselves about how low they say inflation is, if you believe them. So let me ask you this. Since lockdown 2020, do you think that your cost of living went up 4.7% or 5% or 6% or 8%? You tell me. In my view, in reality, since lockdown 2020, the value of your money may nearly have halved. Nearly. And what I mean is the relative spending power that you have. In fact, beyond lockdown 2020, your spending power was the lowest it's been since the Second World War. Look at the prices of so many things you buy right now. And by the way, those prices are not coming down. Everything is so much more expensive. I need to have a rant here. This sent me wild. I don't eat Nando's, but my kids do. And I thought, oh, I'll have a Nando's. It's not going to hurt. I ordered the chicken and yada yada. And I thought, I'll have the large box of peas. Have a guess how much a large box of peas from Nando's is just outside London in Peterborough, England. £7.50. £7.50. £7.50. £7.50 for a box of fucking peas. Oh, but inflation is only 4.7%. I think if you look at everything you spend, you know, they can't bullshit you. You know that everything is fucking expensive. Now, there's a sneaky little trick that the big corporations slide in here under the radar, and they blame inflation. It's actually a full chapter in Money Matrix. It's called greedflation. So greedflation is when greedy corporate entities like energy companies, when your energy is going through the roof, like oil companies, when your heating is going through the roof, like bank charges, when your interest rates are going through the roof. Here's what they do, especially the companies that own multiple brands. Quick aside, research how many brands Coca-Cola own. Research how many brands Procter & Gamble own. Research how many brands Nestle own. You look on the shelves, you think you have choice of product. You think you have a competitive market where they're competing with each other, so it reduces the price. In reality, all of the products that you own on the supermarket are owned by two or three massive companies and corporations. In reality, all the products and services that you have the illusion and delusion and choice of are actually owned by two or three massive brands. So they can eke up or bang up the prices on these, and there's nothing you can do about it. And this is what greedflation is. These companies hike up the prices. They blame inflation when they're actually monopolizing the products and the prices. Now, we're supposed to have a government that intervenes and creates fair free market competition and anti-monopoly regulation. Problem is, a lot of these massive corporations are in the pockets and donating to the politicians who make the policy. So back to interest. You think because interest rates have gone up that you're going to make money in the bank, but you have to compare the net interest you're earning with not the current inflation rate, but the reality of the inflation rate. Now, here's what normally happens. If interest rates are 5%, maybe the banks are only passing 3.5% or 4% to you. If inflation is quoted at 5%, I use my rule of double it. Whatever the government say inflation really is, double it. So you think interest is 5 and inflation is 4.7 and you're netting out 0.3. Well, wow, netting out 0.3. But still, you think you're in the positive. But in reality, you get 3.5 or 4 of the 5% interest and inflation is actually 10 and your money is going down by 6 or 7% a year. That doesn't take many years for compounding to kick in and erode a load of your money. Anyone guessed yet in the comments how much is here? So the golden rule of making money is you have to beat the inflation rate. I have licenses to fly a 2-seater and a 4-seater helicopter. And when you're flying a helicopter, you have airspeed and ground speed. Airspeed is the speed you're going in the air. Ground speed is the speed that it translates to on the ground, which is affected by a headwind or a backwind. So in reality, the money you think you're earning has the headwind of inflation and the bank's not giving you the full interest. And you're earning less than you think you are, just like your ground speed is slower than your airspeed because of the headwind. So you need to turn the helicopter 180, get in a backwind and get a faster airspeed than ground speed. So how I flipped this round was, instead of leaving money in the bank, especially around COVID times when interest rates were really low and inflation was really high, when in reality you were losing more than 10% a year. Like, imagine if you knew the reality and the banks actually told the truth and they said, hey, leave your money with us and you're going to lose 12% a year. There'd be a massive bank run. Everyone would take their money out of the banks. The system would collapse. Oh, and then you'd have to bail them out as the taxpayer. So I keep minimum money in the bank and I invest my money into assets that beat inflation. Gold, real estate, property, digital assets. There's actually 14 different asset classes that I invest in. And when you invest in an asset that beats inflation, your money is going up. And the banks can't profit on you. Because when you leave the money in the bank, the banks are allowed to lend that out. The banks are allowed to profit on your money. And what makes it even worse is through the system of fractional reserve banking, not only can they make money on your money, but they can leave just 10% of deposits in the bank and they can lend and invest out the other 90%. So they can leverage your money 10 to 1. And you take the risk, because if they lose your money, do you think you're getting it back? So if the banks lose your money, you'll pay twice. You'll lose the money, and then when they're bailed out, you, the taxpayer, will pay to bail them out. So I do not leave anything other than basic operational living costs in the bank. I take the rest, I invest in assets that pay recurring and passive income and go up in capital value and beat the inflation rate. And when it comes to how the banks behave, it's actually a pretty smart business model. Take other people's money, pay them a pittance of interest, tell them some bullshit propaganda story so they don't know what you're doing, and then behind the scenes, lend and invest it, 10 to 1 ratio, earn profit on it, and then where are they going to put it? Invest in real estate. BlackRock buying up cities in America. Lloyds Banking Group want to be the biggest private landlord in the UK. So I figured all this out 17 years ago, took the money out of the bank, invested in property because I knew the banks wanted to invest in property. And who gives me all the money to invest in property? The banks. And so who's taking all the risk? The banks. And who's getting the reward? Me. So I flipped it. And now I have 340 rental units that I own with my business partner, of which the bank has more exposure than us. So the second game you need to reverse in the monopoly money system of the money matrix is tax. Now, I'm not going to talk about offshore trusts and holding companies and schemes and scams. I would be really skeptical and wary of at least 95% of them. There is actually one main way to dramatically reduce your tax bill. And it's actually this simple. You need to be a business owner. Even if you're employed, you can start a side hustle and start a new company. Now, when you're employed, you pay tax first and you're paid last. I don't know if you ever received your payslip, opened it up, looked at the amount at the top of what you apparently earned, And then you see your tax come off, your national insurance come off, your student loan come off, and you're left with sometimes less than half. You have no choice. You can't do anything about it. The government get paid first and you get the scraps. Whereas when you're a business owner or an entrepreneur or you own a company, you take in the money, you even add the VAT or sales tax on, you borrow that money, you hold that money, and then later down the line, 3 months down the line for VAT in the UK or however long you get to pay your sales tax, every 6 months a business owner has their personal tax bill. And in that time, you can figure out, if you're entrepreneurial, how to work your tax bill down. Now, it's actually not very hard. There's three things you need to do. Number one is you need to research on what is legitimately offsettable. This microphone, the hard cost of the books, my phone, the cameras, my team here who are working on the cameras, everything in this building is an offsettable business expense. I don't go on holidays. I go and do podcast tours and interviews and I happen to be away in nice countries for a week. That's a business expense. I don't go out on social dinners. I have business meetings and have nice dinners with business people. And so that's a business expense. So if you properly research all of this, you're going to figure out that much of what you're spending personally could be a business expense. And I work upon this simple principle. If I pay for it after tax, it costs me twice as much. Now, if you go to an accountant and say, hey, I want to go on holiday and put it through the business, you can't. That's actually stupid. But if you slightly tweak how you live your life and slightly tweak how you travel and slightly tweak how you eat and where you go, you can turn personal expenses into business expenses. And then there are, in different countries, a set of allowable business offsettable expenses. You've got to learn what all those are. The second thing you've got to do is get a bloody good accountant. So if you get a sausage machine accountant that actually really kind of works for the government and not for you, they're going to, oh no, you can't go out to dinner. Oh no, you can't go on holiday. Oh no, you can't put that through the business. When actually, you probably could. You need to find a really good accountant who knows the rules inside out and importantly will sign off any expenses you're putting through the business. Now, with my accountant, instead of waiting for him to tell me everything I can offset, I go to him and look at all my expenses and figure out, is there a way I could change my behavior and make this expense a business expense that's legitimate? I have a ding dong with my accountant. He might say no at first. He might then say, well, if there's no benefit in kind and there's no duality of purpose, that's probably allowable. Then we agree, we sign it off and it's done. And then the third stage, really important, you get tax investigation insurance. Because if an accountant will back it up and the tax investigation insurance will back it up, you're probably 99% fine. If you don't have either of those, you might be 20 or 30 or 50% fine. And you don't want to take the risk. But you know what? As soon as you start making any real decent money, and I'm not even talking high six figures, I'm probably talking low five figures, your biggest expense, it's not your marriage, it's not your kids, it's not your mortgage, it's not your nice fancy car, it is tax. Now, most people who are employed, they just accept it because they don't ever see it and they don't even really know or feel that it's their money, but it's their money. They earned it. Like all my guys I pay, I know what I pay them. I pay them their gross salary. I pay them employers' national insurance and other bits and bobs. So I look at paying them 50 grand, but they think I pay them 28 because that's what they get. But no, I'm paying them 50. The government's nicking the 22. And the third way the banks make money out of you, the product, is inflation. Now you might think, but that's not a revenue generation exercise for the banks and the governments, but it is a debt erosion exercise. So when money is printed into the system, for years, people have been asking me where I buy my watches. Many of you may know I'm a watch collector, I'm a watch investor, and those as an asset class have done me very well in the last 15 years. I have never shared where I source my watches from or my watch dealer until now. My watch dealer used to be a professional footballer for Manchester United, and he formed a watch brand called Broadwalk. And he sources the higher end brands like Rolex, Audemars Piguet, Patek Philippe and Richard Mille. I trust him, I've used him for many years, and recently we've done a partnership. Hence I'm inviting you, if you want to start investing in watches and protect your money from the banks and inflation, to check out Broadwalk. That's Broadwalk. And the website is broadwalkgroup.com. The email is sales@broadwalkgroup.com. And please don't share this. but his number is 07496 878153. Obviously, only message him if you're serious about buying and investing in the higher-end watches. People have been asking me for years, and for the first time ever, you can get access to my watch team. More money is created in the system, and now sometimes it's printed physically and sometimes it's digitally. So what happens to the value of the existing money in the system as more money is ploughed into the system? It goes down. So your money is going down every year with inflation, and your money is going down every year when there's quantitative easing or every time they pump billions and trillions of new money into the economy. Now, according to Patrick Bet-David, since lockdown 2020, more money has been printed in those 4 short years than was ever created in the history of man ever making money. And that's why I think your money has gone down a lot more than they tell you since lockdown 2020. So we need to go back to how you can beat inflation by not having too much cash money or money in the bank and investing it into assets that beat inflation and pay recurring income. But you also have to see what the banks do and see if you can do the same. So when the banks print more money, they're going to lend it to you and they're going to make interest. So they make money printing more money because there's more money to lend to get interest from you. So spinning that round 180, never borrow money from the banks to make them rich for anything that goes down in value. Conservatory, car, pair of trainers. Only borrow money from the banks that you can invest that goes up in value. So when you borrow money from the banks for a mortgage, you have good debt and you're leveraging the bank's money to make money on the full value of the asset, not just the amount of cash you have. So real estate is one of the best examples. If you put a 25 deposit down and borrow 75% from the bank, you're going to make capital and interest from the full 100% value, not just from the 25% capital you put in. Oh, and by the way, you can sometimes even borrow the capital. So the banks take 75% of the value of the asset as risk lending it to you, but you earn on 100% of the value. That's kind of like how the banks use you, but you're using the banks. But this gets better. As the governments print trillions into the economy, reducing the value of cash, you're okay because you don't have much cash, you have assets, so your assets are protected. But it gets even better because as more money is printed and inflation is created, not only does it erode the value of cash money or cash in the bank, it erodes the value of debt. Now, this is the secret the banks don't tell you. Instead of paying off the 3-odd trillion that they're in debt in the UK, and it's hundreds of trillions in America, instead of paying it off by balancing the books and having a surplus of income and reducing the deficit, which is what they should do, and that was what economies always used to do, and there were rules that they had to do. Now there are no rules of balancing the books. They could just print trillions on demand. They can be insolvent. They can be trillions in debt and no one seems to care. This is called modern monetary policy. But monetary is the loose term there. So the banks pay off their trillions of debt through the back door by eroding the value of money, because eroding the value of money also erodes the value of debt. If they erode the value of money by 10% in a year, and when I say if they do it, they do it. Inflation is not an accident. Inflation is a strategy. So if they've intentionally eroded the money by 10% in 1 year, they've also intentionally eroded the value of their own national debt by 10% in that year. So they're secretly paying the debt off, stealing it from your money through inflation. But here's the really smart bit, and this did take me a little longer to figure out, but it is a game changer. When you borrow money from the banks, you leverage their money, you earn on the full value of the asset, and they loaned you 75% of it or more. But the best bit is when the government pay their own debt off through inflation, they're paying your debt off as well. So I had tens of millions of pounds worth of mortgages in lockdown 2020, and my UK government, who I was ranting about daily and I was really angry with for ruining the country, were actually being really kind to me because they were paying off all my mortgages. I said to you that I believe since March 2020, and many traditional economists are going to wildly disagree with me and get pissed off, and that's fine. Everyone's entitled to my opinion. I believe your spending power could be up to half what it was before lockdown 2020. If that's the case, then the value of all your debt is also relatively half of what it was before lockdown 2020. So my tens of millions of pounds worth of mortgages have basically been paid off half for me by the government, by money printing, quantitative easing, and inflation. And these are the reasons why you need to turn this quickly into assets like real estate and gold. So one final chance to guess how much cash is here. You've got to get the exact amount right. It's real cash. I'll give you a clue. There's some tens, there's some 20s, and there are some 50s. Put it in the comments. I won't leave this up forever, but I will give you a little bit of a chance to try and win some of this cash. But also, I don't know if you've yet grabbed the brand new copy of Money Matrix, Beat the Money System and Build Generational Wealth. Now, my publishers declined to publish this on the grounds of it being too political. Bearing in mind, I have one of the biggest contracts with my publishers and they're a branch of the second biggest publisher in the world. And I have a 6-book deal with them and they ghosted me for months and finally said, it's too political. Therefore, there's a reasonable chance that this book could be banned. But if you want to grab a copy and beat the money system and build generational wealth, go right now to moneymatrix.cash. When you go to that link, I've got some special bonuses for you if you're quick. They may have already sold out depending on when you're watching this. But you could get, for example, one of the bonuses is a special ticket to my new 3-day Money Matrix limited edition event called the Money Maker Summit. I've got many millionaires coming to share with you the secret hidden strategies to wealth that the banks don't want you to know. So it's all at moneymatrix.cash. People have been asking me, well, why have you written this, Rob? Well, it is my 19th book and I do write a lot of books on money. But also I think it's unfair how you don't know how the banking system works. And I think you need to know if you want to build generational wealth. And everything that our global governments have done since 2020, we need to push back because a revolution is coming. So the first half of Money Matrix exposes the banking system and how you are the product and how they make money out of you and how their propaganda is not reality. And then the second half of the book, which is more than 200 pages, just the second section, spins the banking system 180 and teaches you step by step how to play the same game as the banks and win at the game of money and potentially make many millions of pounds in an ordered, structured and systemized way. By the way, I'm closer to 50 than I am 40, and I've been an entrepreneur for 17 years, and I've done more than a quarter of a billion in sales. I own 340 properties with my business partner, Rental Units. So I know this stuff, and I've been doing this a long time. So go grab your copy now and see what bonuses are there at moneymatrix.cash.